neighbor. Let everybody settle down for a minute first. My name is Bob, I'm an addict, and I'm excited today because I serve a God who creates excitement, and every day in recovery is sweeter than the day before. I thank God for the process, and I praise Him for the pain. Pain is discomfort created by disorder, so when I'm in pain, that means something's out of order. But I found out through the 12-step process that pain produces miracles, and pain is a prerequisite for promotion. At the end of my active addiction, I was homeless for 7 years. I had 2 cases in court, and I was boosting and selling food stamps. Living in Randall's shelter, 6 o'clock wake up, 7 o'clock departure. Walk from Randall to Somme, that's S-O-M-E, so others might eat. Standing in that long line to get on the inside, and eat grits and eggs, black coffee, no sugar, no cream, a hard donut, and a piece of fruit. And get on the outside and get on the eviction crew so I can make $5 an eviction. Putting people out of their houses or their apartments, the 9 times out of 10 was suffering from the same disease I was suffering from, the disease of addiction. And we talking about from tragic to magic. And I'm going step 7. So when I came up here yesterday, I went straight to the beach. You see the water. The water was moving fast. And I said, God, what you trying to tell me like this today? He said, I'm about to do a quick work in your life. The tide is moving fast. So as I'm leaving the beach, I read this sign. Interesting sign. Because you know there's a lot of power in signs. So I read the sign, and this is what the sign said. The sign said, keep our beach clean. Dump your trash and leave your footprints. So that's what I came here to do today. I'm going to dump my trash and leave my footprints. Yeah. Let's talk recovery. 7-step. We humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. My clean date, November 24th, 1996. From that day to this day, I haven't found it necessary to use because I don't want to be on it no more. Right? I got tired of not having nothing. I got tired of going in and out of jail. I got tired of wearing handcuffs. Anybody here tired of wearing handcuffs? Whether you go to jail or you doing some freaky, I don't like handcuffs. You can't handcuff me right now. I don't like handcuffs. I got tired of taking urine. I got tired of going in and out of detox. Suffering from cocaine psychosis. That means when you smoke so much cocaine, you start hallucinating, thinking you're seeing ghosts. I got tired of walking fast. Crack make me walk fast, man. I got tired of walking fast. I got tired of my lips being burnt up from smoking. I got tired of my fingers being burnt up from smoking the rope all the way down to the end and got to wrap your fingers on rocks or fish trying to get the burn off the fingers. I got tired of burning up my fingers. I got tired of banging. I got tired of not being able to hustle no more. I got tired of not being able to go to the club and party and be a part of life for real. I got tired of not having no social life. I got tired of not having no love. I got tired of not being able to see my family whenever I wanted to. I got tired of not having no girl because cocaine was my woman. I got tired of not having no real love, man. So I came in recovery. And I met my sponsor, Frankie L., Level to Death. And they said, go to meetings, name your name. And they said, don't get in no relationship your first year. I said, well, why they say that? Because you're not emotionally stable to handle another person's feelings. And I said, well, that sounds all right. But because no matter where you go, somebody's going to like you. But they said, just don't get in no relationship. Don't get involved. Before you evolve. Because if you get involved, before you evolve, everything's gonna dissolve. But we are facing text. The best 10 hours I ever spent in my life. And I started reading the book. And it said, your spirituality is the solution to your problem. And I started making an effort to grow spiritually. Thank God for my cause and dollars. At the end of the week, we look at and say a prayer. The surrender prayer. The Lord's prayer. Or a prayer no choice. I forgot how to pray. Thank God for lockdowns and dollars. Taught me how to pray at the end of the week. So I locked in. And it wasn't just going to be. We was having some fun. I'm from Washington, D.C. We had a place called Temple G. On Friday and Saturday, we had Temple G. You put your stuff on, just like you're sitting in the game. You get your picture took. You might meet somebody. Somebody might like you. You know what I mean? And you keep going from there. I mean, they was fly too, man. They were shouting, they had a Versace, and some of them had a front Versace, you know what I'm saying? Come on, some bootleggers, all good, show up, keep coming back, don't be bothered, don't worry, but they got something for you. Somebody might not, you get your picture took, you might meet somebody, just keep coming back, more than a beer. So I kept coming, trying to get my picture took, start setting the game up, you know what I mean? Trying to fill the void, because I didn't have nothing. Start buying all this stuff, because I didn't have nothing. Stop wanting to live out my fantasies clean that I never got to live out when I was using. Okay. So, I started living out my fantasies, man. With me a champagne gold Cadillac sedan to build. Champagne gold inside and out, right now. Yeah, man. I restored the car, but the car couldn't restore me. And everything is relative. All those leading hard. I remember when I was 8 years old. I was 7 or 8 years old. Me and my mother was on a Metro bus. And we was on New York Avenue. At the Greyhound bus station. I'm on the bus. I'm looking out the window. But I ain't saying that because we had a red light. I'm looking at this dude. In this blue Cadillac. Two-tone blue. With the back slanted down like that. And he had white fur around the steering wheel. He had a white fur hat. And he had a blue suit that matched the color of the car. And I'm looking at this dude, I'm like, what are you waiting for? And he had this look on his face. I mean, he was so cold-blooded, if he would have breathed hard, his windshield would have got frozen. That's how cool this dude was. So I'm looking at him, I'm saying, what you looking at? Because I wasn't saying nothing. But I didn't know what I was looking at. She said, what you looking at? I'm looking at this dude, but he ain't moving the car. So then, all of a sudden, this girl comes running out the bus station with these suitcases. He got the car, popped the trunk through the suitcase, and the girl's not letting him out, he stayed off. What you looking at? I don't know. And I said, when I get old, I'm going to do that. So I got my sedan in the bill. I had some girlfriends. And every time I called one of them, I would make them run out of the house and jump in my car, just like that dude I seen, man. I said, I'll do that. I get to the house, you know, they ain't never ready, but you get there, hurry up, girl, I'm out there, come on! And they went out the parking lot, jump in the Cadillac, we spin off! And I said, I wonder if this how that dude felt when that girl jumped in his car.
Man, you could tell me I wasn't a player, man.
But I'm clean. So I'm riding through the tunnels of Fifth Street Town, D.C. This is some Curtis Mayfield, ain't nothing, don't make me feel better than riding in a Cadillac and listen to some Curtis. A Cadillac and some Curtis. So I'm riding through the tunnel, and the Cadillac is bumping. You know, every time I see people, they ask me about the car. And then one day, they never asked me how I was doing. They always asked me about what I had. And the void kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I came to believe. And a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. Sex is about restoration. I wasn't on it no more. I wasn't walking fast no more. I wasn't just buying stuff just to be buying the food. I started recovering. I started being restored. And then, you know, you got to keep going. The third step, they make a decision to you when I go to the kickoff. All they're saying is, go on with the rest of the program or go back where you came from. It's simple as that. It ain't that deep. It ain't that complicated. Don't forget where you came from. So I went on, did the third step, see myself. Sit down with my thoughts and find, confess, get all that stuff off me. And then I got to the sixth step, and that was a whole other battle. I'm like, what's going on with him? I thought I was good. After the fifth grade, I told all that stuff that I was God. And then he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let's get ready to remember. You think you're out the woods now, man. You really won't see yourself when you get to the sixth step, and you gotta let it all hang out. So people can't help you. Because we can't help you if you ain't showing us who you really are. So I let it all hang out in sixth. And I was frustrated because I couldn't change myself. I needed God to do something for me. I couldn't change myself. I tried. I couldn't do it. And it seemed like the longer I stayed clean, the worse I got. And I got scared, man. And then one day I read the book, and one word saved my life. The one word in the sixth step in the basic text is, eventually. One word saved my life. Eventually, faith, love, and acceptance will replace pride and rebellion. Eventually. That one word saved my life, man. But I keep going on. My family getting better. I got a younger sister. She had a daughter. And my younger sister's daughter accidentally hung herself. She was 6 years old. She got caught up in the blinds in the house. She hung herself. She died. And my aunt called. I went to the house. And when I walked in the house, it was cold in the house. I'm like, why is it so cold in here? Because the spirit of death was in the house. And I'm like, they just sitting around praying. What y'all just sitting around praying for? Come on, let's get up and pray. So we started praying, and it got warm in the house. The presence of God came in the house. And that's one thing about us as eggs. It ain't that we don't like going to church, or we don't like God. We don't like being in God's presence. It's too powerful for us. It's too pure for us. We can't understand it because we can't lie in God's presence. All the truth come out when the presence show up. So it got warm in the house. The presence was sticking there. God was moving. And I get to my sixth, I said, God, you gotta change me. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to use. My behavior was so bad. I did some raggedy things in recovery, man. I mean, some real raggedy things. But I was clean, I wasn't using, but I was on my way to using. So I get to the seventh step, from tragic to magic. Here we go, y'all. Snap it where they say, button up your seatbelts. Let's get to the magic. Because in the sixth step, you don't just stay there. The only way out six is in seven. And the reason why a lot of us don't want to ask God to take stuff from us is because we know if we ask him, he's going to do it. Because if he can take a needle out your arm and a pipe out your mouth, he can deliver you from all other defects that will lead you right back to the pipe. So the seventh step is the shortest step in words, but it's the most potent. It's the most powerful because the seventh step is a step of transformation. Because the literature says we only ask them to remove our shortcomings. Yeah. You know how it was when you was in a toxic relationship and you called the police and they came, they removed him. Because you called and asked them. They came and no time passed, they removed him. Why we can't use the same principles on our shortcomings? Because we want temporary relief instead of true deliverance. We ain't asking God to take the drugs away. I'm asking them to take away those behaviors that are leading right back to the drugs. The seventh step is that this is the road to spiritual growth, not spiritual stagnation, not spiritual loneliness. This is the road to spiritual growth, but we don't want to grow. You know, at any seventh step meeting, they talk more about six than they talk about seven. Complaining about what's wrong instead of doing what the person said to get them what's right. Stop laboring in your mess. Go to seven. Oh, do you know him? Maybe you don't know him. The literature, recovery is progressive. They said the disease is progressive, so my recovery got to be progressive. Don't let your disease outgrow your recovery. How do you let the disease outgrow you when you got God on your side? If the disease is progressive, my recovery got to be progressive. And you can't be scared to go spiritually. We got too many people becoming scared to go spiritually. You're scared to go spiritually because of our image. We got images. Because
Well, seriously, it ain't popular, but it's powerful.
See, the Holy Spirit told me, God says, do you want to be popular or do you want to be powerful? That's the decision you have to make when you come to ask Him to remove your shortcomings, because that's where you're going. You're going to move from popularity to power. And because we're going three stages, pity, popularity, and power, let's bring them down. We come in at the pity stage. You're broke, you're homeless, you ain't got nothing, you're dusty, you're dead, they can't know your hand, hanging that baby, keep coming back, moping in bed, and so we all go, hang with us, we're going to feed you, that's all the things that we need. Make sure you got buckle at home, somebody might need to take you home. Make sure you go to the dance, you got energy and passion. It's a confession. If you ain't got no money, you can still come to Ocean City. You're in the pity stage. And then you start growing and developing, and then you start sharing and helping people, and you ease into popularity. The popularity stage is where a lot of people relapse. Because they confuse popularity with power. You ain't got no power, you're just popular. And then you treat people at that stage of recovery. Because they force you to power for the popularity. But it's our power that makes us popular. Woo! And the people that's popular hate us because we're more popular than them. And not only are we known, but we got power from God. And what they jealous of is your influence. So they operate in the spirit of intimidation. But the intimidators are intimidated by the inspirators. Yeah. They're jealous of their power and their inspiration, and they try to get them no influence. Don't talk to them. Not that you gotta give them a phone number too. They never call because they get cut off by the intimidators. And we got people down that's popular because they said that the people that got power because they don't like their influence. The word influence is going to get out there through influenza. So when you got power and you're popular and you got influence, you become contagious. And they try to keep people away from you so they don't get what you got so they stay sick with you. And they go years and years and years, they will never get better. Okay. Because they want to be popular, but they don't want no power. Yeah. So the seventh step is about power. Yeah. You got to walk in the power of God when you get the seventh. Yeah. The life is over, the past is over. Walk in the newness of life. Recovery is about winning. It ain't about losing and staying sick and being sick all the time. Some people stay sick so that they keep getting attention. Because you don't get better, people ain't gonna be patting you on your back all the time. When you don't get better, you're wasting our love, you're wasting our time. When you keep patting you up, you pay your all these years and you still don't have that seven. When you gonna ask me that, you're gonna be shortcomings so you can do something else with your life. You don't even want innocent packets. You need all these things. We ain't got no more innocent packets. We need a spiritual innocent packets. Who got that word? Who got the spiritual innocent packages? Spirit still trying to hang in and recover. No, this ain't no free lunch program. You got to work for what you did in here. They got a reward without the labor. You ain't gonna get nothing if you don't put nothing into it. We gotta get tired of being cutters, putting people up in here year after year after year. Because then I'm gonna ask him to remove his income. Emotional blackmailers, manipulators, always begging. Don't know what I do. I really need a job. Go to school. Do something with your life. Bring it all in the world. What's the problem there? This is a road, the spiritual road. And a road is designed to take you somewhere. Where are you going? Where do I want to go? Don't you want something better?
yourself coming so you can be free for real.
Come on.
So I start praying.
Yeah.
I tapped into the power. God is real.
Yes,
but you gotta go for yourself.
Yes,
I don't want to be abundant recovery. I ain't going through all that hell to be average and ordinary. I got an enemy called average. Average is my enemy. I ain't going through all that hell for nothing. To come to the old man, go to the party, go to Hudson City, do everything, all the regular stuff. No! This episode says this program is about unlimited growth. You can't put the limits on God. Some scientists did an experiment on mental conditioning. They put a grasshopper in a mayonnaise jar and put a top on it. A grasshopper can jump higher than a mayonnaise jar. So they put a top on and the grasshopper began to jump, but it couldn't jump high because the top was on a mayonnaise jar. So after a few days, they took the top off. And because the grasshopper had been conditioned to jump so high, even with the top off, it never jumped off the top. That caused the violence and the trust step and the godly understanding to desire to take the top off. Jump off the top. I'm going to do things by God bless you.